Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson, who is actually in Washington, D.C. this week to accept the Faith and Freedom Coalition's Lifetime Achievement Award. Dr. Dobson has asked Dr. Tim Clinton to sit in for him for the next couple of programs on the topic of raising healthy kids. Dr. Tim Clinton is president of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the largest and most diverse Christian counseling association in the nation, with a membership of more than 50,000 counselors. He is the executive director of the Center for Counseling and Family Studies at Liberty University. He is the author of more than 20 books, including his latest, Breakthrough: When to Give In, When to Push Back. Dr. Clinton earned his doctorate in education from the College of William and Mary. Tim and his wife, Julie, have been married 31 years and are the parents of two children. Dr. Clinton will be joined for this conversation by Dr. Gary Sibsey, professor of counseling education at Liberty University, which is also his alma mater. He has a variety of clinical interests, including the assessment and treatment of childhood disorders. Dr. Sibsey is the author of numerous articles and has co-authored several books with Dr. Clinton, including their most recent work together called Loving Your Child Too Much: Raise Your Kids Without Overindulging, Overprotecting, or Overcontrolling. Let's listen in now as Dr. Tim Clinton opens today's edition of Family Talk.
As we get started, Gary, you have spent a lot of time working with challenging kids, special needs kids, dealing with oppositional defiance, kids who get out of control and pretty unruly. You've dealt a lot with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I know you've worked with children who struggle with obsessive compulsive disorder and more. And Gary, you know, in that world that you really specialize in, do you see any common thread or threads there that kind of cross over all those different types of challenging issues?
Well, you know, there's two sides to that thread. One of them is that a lot of these kids don't have some of the skills for managing their emotions and their behavior and dealing with frustration, being flexible. These are skills that kids actually need to learn. And they're not really as developed as their peers. So that's one. And then secondly, are the kind of parenting behaviors that parents need to bring to that kind of situation. I mean, we've been schooled for so long to think that there's sort of one equation to parenting that fits all kids. And so what we find is that there's not a cookie cutter approach, but there are some common themes that stand out for effective parenting, really, no matter what your child has as far as challenges and strengths.
That can help you get to a breakthrough.
Right, right. So, but what's important, though, is recognizing that whatever combination of these ingredients are really changes based on what your child's individual challenges are.
And we're not going to have a parent bashing program here today at all. If anything, we hope to offer up some real special nuggets that you've learned through nearly 25 years of clinical practice and really on the cutting edge of dealing with challenging issues and challenging kids. Now, Gary, let me say this too. You know, Dr. Dobson years ago wrote a book called Parenting Isn't for Cowards. It's so true. It takes hard work. Oh. It doesn't. And by the way, it's often a pretty thankless job. You're not getting too many attaboys or attagirl. And Gary, have you seen also that it's never too late to become a good parent? I mean, there may be consequences for some tough years where you felt lost or detached maybe in your parenting work. But you can turn that. You can move and press in toward your children.
Oh, absolutely. We see parents turn it around all the time, and sometimes they just need to...
Even with the most difficult kids.
Absolutely. And one of them is understanding and helping parents get away from this huge amount of shame that they sometimes bring to the situation. And part of it has been fostered by this idea that there is an equation to getting the kind of outcome that you want in kids. So the idea is that if you're a good parent, you will have kids who are going to really succeed on every level. Well, that's not true. We know a lot of really good parents who may have three or four kids, and three of the four kids are doing great, but they got that one child who just, I mean, everything they know, they brought to the table, and it's just not working. Or, you know, you look the other way of kids who have come from homes with parents who haven't done that great of a job, but these kids still turn out pretty well.
Good kids.
Right. So there's a lot of variability in this. But what we want to try to do is help parents find the best combination of parenting skills to fit each of their kids. And this frees them up a great deal, because if you start to think that parenting is all about it's the same thing for every child, that's what it means to be fair or just at home, that'll get you in trouble. We tell parents that just parenting, if you will, is that each child gets what they need as a child. So some kids need more structure, they need more limits, they need more predictability, whereas other kids actually need clear rules but fewer. And those kind of things. Some kids need a lot more warmth, a lot more touch.
And we're going to go there.
We'll go into that kind of stuff.
Let me say this too. To you, mom and dad listening right now, mom and or dad, we believe, Gary and I have had many conversations, but we believe most Christian parents are getting a lot of things right. They love their kids. They want to have strong limits. They want to teach them, instruct them in the way of the Lord. They want to train them up. And having that kind of influence is so beautiful, because children are vulnerable and God has given us that responsibility. But Gary, let's dial it back now. Here we are. I've got Joey, or I've got Sarah, and I've got my hands full. Let's talk about those overarching principles you think everybody's got to have dialed in to really, you know, have the context, the best context to raise healthy kids. Number one, rules.
Right. Yeah, I mean, kids need limits, and they need to be clear limits, and, you know, they need to be firm limits. And so, but one of the things that we have parents do is we start to ask them, well, what are the most important limits, right? Because, you know, one of the things that you and I have always talked about is the research on the fact that kids who actually misbehave often get the most rules fired at them. Right. So parents can make anywhere from 800 to 1500 commands or demands on a child.
That's significant. Stay right there for a moment. These kids are facing how many commands a day?
Oh, anywhere between 800 and 1500.
And even the best kids keep how many of them?
About 60%.
And so if you've got a child that's struggling a little bit in this area, mm-hmm. I mean, we've got an uphill battle here.
Right. So if you've got a child who has, they may not have ADHD, but they have some of these tendencies, right? So they're somewhat hyperactive, they're somewhat impulsive, they're somewhat attentive. And, you know, the more rules that you line up for this child, especially certain kinds of rules, you know, rules about order, cleanliness, and structure, these sometimes parents get hung up on, you're going to find all kinds of infractions. And this can lead to a lot of tension, which we'll talk about later, can be more destructive to the parenting situation. So we try to help parents identify, well, what are the most important rules? And these are usually relationally based rules. Like, for example, one of the most important rules in a family is the rule of being respectful, being kind, being nice. And we encourage parents to realize that you are the most important player in this, right? Because you have to model it to your children.
So often what happens, Gary, if I'm hearing this correctly, it's when you get into a spin with your child, you tend to push the rule button even further.
Exactly.
Kids do need structure. They regulate their world around it. They've got to have it. But when you get in trouble with your child, you push the rule button to another level, another degree. And typically what you have to do then is discipline.
Right.
That, by the way, leads to our second concept that you have put together. It's rules with
relationship. Yeah, so when you start adding rules with relationship, then you're more likely to get respect. The idea of rules without relationship lead to rebellion. So you got to balance rules with a relationship.
You're not saying that I'm going to be like my son's best buddy.
Let's look at it this way. These relationships have to be interactive. Back and forth, lots of exchanges of gestures and eye contact.
So you're talking about presence. You're talking about being really emotionally engaged with your child.
Absolutely.
Dialed in to their world. You and I have talked a lot about command-free special time. I think it comes from a concept from, was it Russell Barkley?
Yeah.
Where Barkley talked about opposition-defiant kids, and that if you could get 20 minutes of command-free special time with this child, in other words, crawl into that child's world.
Right.
And connect. And it's command-free, meaning you're not dictating that moment. You're just participating in that child's world. What starts taking place there? This relationship piece. What's a parent learning? What's a child learning in those moments? Because I think parents really need to hear this. Homes that are given to a lot of rules and you're seeing a lot of discipline, we'll say, typically you're seeing a dynamic there that's lost relationship.
Right. And then in that kind of context, you start seeing a child who acts out more or also may become more withdrawn and more isolated. So I had a dad come to me one time who was very concerned about his son just becoming increasingly disengaged from him. This was sort of a early adolescent kid. And now this dad was a very outgoing sports activities, like to hunt, like to fish, like to be outdoors. But, you know, his son didn't have much interest in that. So dad would occasionally say, hey, you know, you want to go hunt with me? You want to go fish with me? You want to go do this? And the kid would say, no. So the child, this kid would come home and dad would try to engage him. He'd be like, well, how's school? How's your grades? How's your homework? And, you know, he would get a bunch of one-word answers out of his son. And so he was, you know, this guy was concerned. He's like, you know, I don't know how to engage him. So I said, well, what's the one thing that your son likes? He goes, well, the only thing the boy likes is listening to music. And, you know, he goes to his room and he puts his headphones on and he turns on his music and, you know, I can't stand it. I mean, I hate his music. I don't even understand what it's saying. I said, well, look, I mean, if you want to make a connection, you're going to have to start with what he actually likes. He goes, I don't know if I can stomach it. I said, well, it's your choice. I mean, but here's what you would do. You know, you need to ask him what he's listening to and take an interest in it. Okay? Ask him, well, who's the band? What's the words? What are they saying? Listen to it. And so he did, you know. So he started going home, and he started asking his son, you know, about this. And initially his son was a little bit suspicious, thinking that his dad was going to police what music he was listening to. And, you know, he sort of stomached it, if you will, asked him, like, well, who is this band? What's the background? What's the meaning of these lyrics? Oh, that's interesting, right? He never really said, gee, I really like this, because he didn't. But he thought it was interesting, and he wanted to know more about it. But what he started to notice was an interesting change, because his son started to text him, like, Dad, guess what? This band's coming out with a new album. And his son would meet him at the door to tell him about different things that the bands were doing and different songs they had. And he wanted them to watch a YouTube video with him of his. And next thing you know, their relationship began to blossom in other ways. And the son actually would want to go fishing if they were going to listen to his music on the way, right? So the son looked forward for those opportunities to meet with his dad and connect as they talked about music, even though this was quite a stretch for the dad. But this began to transform their relationship. So sometimes you gotta adapt to what your kid really likes.
Being attuned to a child here, being sensitive, crawling into their world, getting dialed in. Tell me what it's like. I'm a mom or dad listening right now, and I'm trying to figure this out. My child's different than me. We're not connected. I've lost it. They've gone wayward. They're prodigal, whatever. Help me.
So it's a great point. So one of the first things we talk about is adding relational elements into your day-to-day structure. So one is special time. So if you're really disconnected with your child, setting aside a 15-minute period of time each day with this child, usually the same time if you can. You're just engaged with them in that activity.
They may want to go outside and play catch.
They may want to play catch.
They
want
to go for basketball. They may want to go jogging or something together. Who knows?
Absolutely. But when you're in that time, there's two rules. One, don't ask intrusive questions. And two, don't give commands. Because this isn't a time to teach, and this isn't a time to instruct.
So what's taking place then during these moments?
The metaphor that we use is that of emotional bank accounts. So most parents can identify with this. That, you know, every relationship has an emotional account. When you have positive relational experiences, usually in the day-to-day life interactions, this is putting deposits into the account. Whenever you are enforcing rules, setting limits, stop that, don't do that, do this, don't do that, right? These kind of things which your children need, these are nonetheless still withdrawals. What happens for kids who are high need, highly challenged kids, is that they require many, many more withdrawals from the account than they do get deposits. in the natural course of a day, and the relationship starts to become bankrupt. And as the relationship becomes more bankrupt, actually kids act out more. And the more they act out, then what happens, you start getting an overdraft situation, which we've all been there with our bank account at one level or another. It just gets worse and worse and worse. So that's one thing, one-to-one special time. The other thing that we do is we work at getting parents to eat dinner together with their children, and we do a high-low, high-point, low-point thing, right? So you go around the table, and everybody shares something. What was your high point today? What was that? And why? And parents have to do it too, right? And you have to start out putting up with certain answers like, my high point was getting out of school. My low point was going to school. Makes it tough. But you're trying to build more elaboration on this. And then we add a little twist to it, right? So once you get used to doing that, then we ask kids, what do you think will be your high point tomorrow? Right? We want kids to start thinking into the future a little bit. What do you think your low point will be tomorrow? You know, one kid said, well, you know, I think that my low point will be that my buddy Johnny's not going to show up and recess is going to stink, right? And a parent can use this as yet a platform into problem solving, which is another set of skills, which is, well, what do you think you might do about it? So you start getting them to think about how to cope with problems before they show up.
Yeah,
so which... it becomes a very powerful way of beginning to engage them. So we work at those kind of interactions as opportunities to connect with your kids. And then the last thing is looking, we want to reframe for parents their children's negative emotion. Like when they're upset, annoyed, frustrated, or even when they're misbehaving.
Somebody made fun of them at school. Right. If you're not in those moments, you're going to miss an opportunity to help them.
So it's a beautiful point. One of the things that happens for parents sometimes is that they tend to think of negative emotion as the same thing as negative behavior, right? So you are trying to extinguish it by either ignoring it, right? Because you learn that if you want to extinguish a behavior, you ignore it. Well, when it comes to emotions, that doesn't work so well.
And ignoring them makes them crazy. It makes them insane.
That's right.
But we want to just box it and press it down and make them suppress it or repress it.
Right. Because we think that dealing with emotions is all about will. And dealing with emotions, as we find more and more, is about skill. So you have to see yourself not as an emotional extinguisher, but as an emotion coach.
Fascinating principle. When you really then begin to think about all those moments, mom or dad, I'm just going to a baseball field in my mind and seeing, you know, there's a sport that has so much failure in it, and teaching kids how to manage that is so difficult. And so many parents, they're not in those moments there. And these kids are left to their own chaos, if you will, and interpretation of that. They're wonderful observers, terrible interpreters in their life. Yeah, you're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. Special guest today, Dr. Gary Sibsey. We're talking about the most significant principles of parenting that can help you even in the most difficult or dire situations with children. Who doesn't want to have children who can manage their emotions well, who are able to face adversity and press their way through it? That's the gift we want to give to them.
Right, and these are things that we're training our children to become.
So, Gary, I want to come back to and just close the loop on this relationship piece. Special time, 15, 20 minutes a day, pretty much the same time of the day, participating in their world, command-free, where you're just absolutely coming in. Of course, you're not condoning stuff you don't agree with, but you're participating in their world, you're engaging, and the fruit of that is it communicates to the child that they have value, purpose, that you deem them as significant in your life, that you really care about them, and the interactions begin to teach you a lot about your child, and they teach you a lot about yourself and your relationship with your child. And the power of that relationship tends to yield the fruit of respect.
Right.
A lot of parents at this particular point say, you know what, it sounds like something I can do, but the truth is, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. I mean, do I have to do it every day?
Well, you know, it depends on your child. Okay, and usually starting with your child, so one of the things that we do with that is we say to a parent, go to your child and say, look, I would like for us to spend some time together each day just doing stuff that we like to do around here, right? They don't have to be big, gigantic things. They need to be things that are doable, right? So ask a child to come up with a menu of things that they would like to be able to choose from on a day-to-day basis that they can do, all right? And you sort of work out this list with them so that they're things that are, in fact, doable. And then talk to them about, well, when would be the best time for us to do this, right? You have to build it into your schedule. You need about 15 minutes, but it needs to be time that it's just one-to-one interaction. This is hugely important because kids need a great deal of this on a weekly basis. Sometimes parents only have 10 or 15 minutes for an entire week of face-to-face interaction, just one-to-one with their kids. So we're advocating, and the research shows, that kids actually need, you know, 3 to 4 of these. Especially challenged kids may need more of one-to-one interactions like this. And now finally, the last point is that if you put this down, right, if you say, okay, after dinner on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, we're going to do this, then it's important to realize that they can't lose it, right? Because we don't want the relationship to be contingent.
So in other words, if they have acted out and you're going to discipline them, you don't take special time away
right.
from them.
Right. Special time isn't something that you lose. Okay. And again, this is important.
Because the relationship trumps everything.
Right. Now, again, sometimes it's hard for parents to see this, but I always go back to, well, relationships are relationships. First of all, God doesn't do this. God doesn't say, if you're naughty, don't come knocking at my door. And secondly, I always used a spouse test sometimes, right? So say to your spouse, well, you know, you didn't really do the dishes the way I wanted you to this week. So no, we're not going out for date night this week. That's not going to go over well, right? So for the most part, we keep it non-contingent and kids look forward to it. But we also find, and I got to tell you, I treat a lot of defiant kids. And if we get parents doing this, I'll see at least a 50% reduction in defiance, if not more.
Gary, we've been talking about key parenting principles that everyone needs to think about and do. We've heard many times that rules are significant, but rules without relationship lead often to rebellion with kids. Rules with relationship, however, really fosters respect, and that's where we want to be. We want to have a healthy, dynamic relationship with our kids where we're training them, by the way, to ultimately one day leave us. You never stop being a parent, but you move them into that world where they take responsibility for their life. We've got a lot more to go. We're out of time here, and love to have you back to finish up these other pieces because, Gary, regulation, we're going to talk about reflection and reason. Sound like three complicated words, but when you really look at them in context, they're logical. They're so significant when it comes to parenting. Let me give you the closing word here to mom and dad.
Well, look, if you can balance the rules, the relationship, and you'll reap the benefits of respect with your child. They're going to respect you more. You're going to respect them more. However, if you find yourself in a situation where it's all rules but no relationship, you find yourself in rebellion. But by the way, the flip side can be if it's no rules, it's all relationship, you also get rebellion. Because kids need those rules within the context of relationship. That's the combination that we need to try to find for each kid. Now, what that'll look like for every kid will differ, and that's probably one of the most important pieces, that what may work for Johnny may not work for Susie. And it gives you a lot of freedom to be creative to how you're going to make it work for each kid.
That's fairly straightforward advice, and it's been around for decades. But if you are hearing it for the first time, or you needed a bit of a refresher course, I'm glad you had this sage wisdom to hear today on Family Talk. Our conversation centering on the discussion of raising healthy kids and featuring Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Gary Sibsey from Liberty University. It's true that rules without relationship leads to rebellion. But rules with relationship leads to respect and responsibility. The trouble is that so many parents don't really understand how to balance rules and relationship. Dr. James Dobson wrote about this phenomenon clear back in the mid-1970s in his book called Dare to Discipline. Now, it's been updated a few times since then, but the same principles from 40 years ago still hold true today. Learn more about how to receive the book, Dare to Discipline, by Dr. James Dobson, when you go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. And while you're there, please consider making a tax-deductible donation to support the Ministry of Family Talk. We could certainly use that encouragement right about now. You'll find our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for part two of this important conversation about raising healthy kids who grow up to have a healthy respect for God, their parents, and themselves. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening today to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.